May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I'm always taken aback by those T-shirts that are on sale in Brighton, which have printed on them the slogan, "Jesus is coming, look busy." That's the version of Christ for people who don't really know him. But we have to be a bit careful, because we too can fall into the trap of seeing him as our judge and forgetting that he is our friend and our saviour. We also have to beware of falling into other traps, which we see in our gospel today. We get back to that thought in just a minute, because today is the feast of Jesus Christ the King. Back when I was a young Anglican, 50 or 60 or more years ago, this day wasn't called Christ the King. It had another name. It was called Stir Up Sunday, the day for getting the mixture of the Christmas pudding marinating. The stir-up bit originated in the first words of today's collect in the Book of Common Prayer. Now, it hasn't gone from our liturgy completely, because if you listen after communion, probably the words that Guy says immediately after communion will actually be an echo of that old collect. So listen carefully for that later on. The name of the Sunday was different. The theme didn't change. We have practically finished the liturgical year of 2014, just a few days to go. Next Sunday, we will begin the new liturgical year of 2015. So today, we crown the year with a festival in honour of Jesus Christ the King. Jesus models his kind of kingship on the shepherd kings of old. You will remember from Sunday school, I am sure, the stories about King David, who was the archetype of the shepherd king. Not that he was perfect, far from it. The human race had to wait a long time for the perfect shepherd king, Jesus, the good shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep. As a royal shepherd, Jesus is leading us, his flock, to the kingdom of the Father. It's up to us, the sheep, to be ready to be led by our good shepherd. There is a but here, though. The whole chapter from which today's gospel is taken this morning is about not being prepared. Cast your mind back over the last few Sundays. First of all, in that chapter, there were the foolish bridesmaids who ran out of oil and missed the wedding. And then there is the slave who wasted his chance of making a profit in his boss's absence. And now we have the sheep and the goats. All these people were unprepared for what was about to happen, and they faced the consequences. The stories are not just about being ready, they are about judgment. The people in the stories make their own judgments. The foolish bridesmaids made the mistaken judgment that there was no rush. The slave, with his one talent, he made the judgment and decided to do nothing with it. And the goats. The goats decide that there are some people who are just not worth bothering about. God then makes his judgment, and unfortunately it is different from theirs. All the people standing at the throne of glory are taken aback by God's judgment, and more particularly by God's judge. Who is this sitting in judgment on them? They were not expecting to see a human being sitting up there on the throne, looking completely at home, with angels around him, carrying on as if they thought he was God. As the people are separated into two groups, one on the right hand and one on the left, of this awesome yet recognizable figure, it is clear that both groups are equally puzzled. They are both, you might say, unprepared for the standard of judgment. Neither group has lived their lives expecting to have those lives judged by this man in this way. As their sentences are handed down, both groups say, "We didn't know we were going to be judged like that. We didn't know." The judge does not explain himself, but he could have pointed to both the law and the prophets, which make it clear what God expects. That reading from Ezekiel that we had, for example, shows God himself looking for the lost sheep and longing to care for them. It also shows God's judgment on those fat sheep who greedily kept the pasture for themselves and deliberately pushed away the hungry and the needy. Any well-brought-up Jew listening to Jesus' parable of the sheep and the goats would recognize the justice of the judgment handed out to the goats. No one could say that they were not warned about the nature of God. So, how did they and how do we manage so to be deceived? How did we manage to persuade ourselves that there would be no real consequences for the way we live? Christmas is coming. As we gorge ourselves to death, one way or another, how come we do not realize that we, at least potentially, are the fat sheep pushing the starving millions away from our green fields? That is what makes the Son of Man such a terrible judge. Judgment is not something alien and distant, but something that bears the human face of the neglected, the tortured, the crucified. God is not far away, and not that easy to deceive. And we cannot plead that we didn't know what he wanted of us. We know perfectly well what the hungry, the thirsty, the estranged, the naked, the sick, and the imprisoned people around us need. Jesus, the Son of Man, human like us, is to be our judge. And the human face he shows us is all too recognizable. Now, the parable in our gospel has often been read as meaning that you don't need to be religious to please God. If you don't need to be religious, what do you need to be? What you need to be, what we all need to be, is like Christ, who was the human being who lived solely for the good of others. He was humane, compassionate, offering himself for others. We need to see the face of that beloved Jesus in the bodies and lives of those who need helping and saving. Although the judge in the story is Jesus, the King, the Son of Man, it is certainly true that the good ones, the sheep, didn't think that they saw him in those they helped. When we, his church, acknowledge him as our king and become his body, we can have no illusions about what that body looks like. Just look around. We believe in God's great power at work in Jesus, at work, therefore, in us, to bring life out of death through us. And so we, his body, work to bring life out of death all around us. We work to pay attention to the real human beings with whom God came to identify. And we look around us to seek the presence of him whose life and energy created and redeemed the world, and everyone in it out of love. Lord Jesus, the source of our lives and their final goal, teach us truly how to be your people, your body, your eyes and hands and voice on earth. Hold us in your embrace and so fill us with love for others that no one will ever doubt that we are yours. Amen.